Thank you, operator. Good afternoon, and welcome to a conference call during which we will discuss our operational and financial highlights for the second quarter and half year 2019. With me today are Harold Goddijn, our CEO, and Taco Titulaer, our CFO. We will start today's call with Harold, who will discuss the key operational developments, followed by a more detailed look at the financial results from Taco. We will then take your questions. As usual, I would like to point out that safe harbor applies. With that, Harold, I would like to hand it over to you.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Bruno. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us today. The positive revenue trend continued into the second quarter. Location technology was growing with 25% year-on-year, and free cash flow from operation was an inflow of 16 million for the quarter. Taco will provide further information on the financial highlights and the outlook for the year later during this presentation. I will discuss the key operationals for this quarter. We finalized the telematics divestment to Bridgestone and returned close to 90% of the net cash proceeds to shareholders. We received 873 million euro from the operation, which amounts to a net gain in our P&L of 807 million euro. We're now a more focused company with clearer priorities and a simplified operating model. Our map-making platform matured further during the quarter. We made a record 1.9 billion modifications to the map database in a single month, which is a record. Investments in machine learning resulted in a higher degree of automation, faster cycle times, and lower operational cost per modification. For our technology customers, we launched much improved maps SDKs for web applications during the We Are Developers World Congress in Berlin. Our map SDK allows clients to add maps, search, routing, traffic, geofencing, and other functionality to their website applications, allowing them to easily add store locations, route planners, and other features. On the next slide, I'd like to take the opportunity to give you a brief overview on our wins in the year. As we look back on the first half of the year, we're excited about the opportunities we see from automated driving, improved levels of car connectivity, electrification, but also from map APIs. Automated driving technology is generating significant interest in new detailed maps that will help to transform the way we think about driving. ADAS, or advanced driver assistance systems, are starting to become mainstream and will play a crucial role in preparing the technology for higher degrees of automation, eventually leading to the autonomous car. Electrified vehicles are also becoming mainstream within the next couple of years and need new data and software-based services for route-dependent range charge planning. We've made good progress in developing products that will strengthen our competitive position. In automated driving, we won the first two AG map deals that came to the market earlier this year, and being operational, building on an early user base is important for us as it allows us to collect user feedback and sensor data, which are both crucial to further develop our product offerings and for winning new contracts. We're currently progressing in our development roadmap, increasing automation and productivity of both ADAS and AG map-making systems, and we are growing our coverage. In our connected navigation and electric vehicle solutions, we announced new deals earlier this year with Volkswagen Group, Nissan, FCA, and MG. We also launched a new service, TomTom IQ Maps, which is a mechanism that allows for seamless over-the-air map updates for in-dash navigation systems. In maps APIs, we extended and matured our partnership with Microsoft, and we think that's a strong proof point of the competitiveness of our product portfolio. We also improved our APIs on our own developer portal. This concludes my part of the presentation. I'm now handing over to Taco for a detailed overview of the financials.
Thank you, Harold. Let me take a couple of comments on the financials and the outlook for the year, and then we can go to the Q&A. In the second quarter of 2019, we reported group revenue of 211 million euro, which is 12% higher compared with last year. The driver of this growth is the location technology business, 25% year-on-year. to €160 million, which represents 55% of revenue. Let me go through the businesses one by one. Automotive revenue was up by 21% to €76 million in the quarter. This is a combination of higher volumes from existing customers and an NRE revenue, which is revenue related to integration activities for our automotive customers and is recognized in the P&L at the start of production of car lines. We expect automotive to grow with close to 15% for the full year. We expect less NRE revenue recognition in the second half of the year, which will have a positive effect on our gross margin. Then enterprise revenue. It was up at 34% to €40 million in the quarter, mainly due to the expansion of our partnership with Microsoft. For the full year, we expect to grow with more than 20%. Consumer revenue was flat in the quarter at €95 million. The strong start of the year was the result of the replacement sales due to the GPS week number rollover issue, which impacted older generation devices and pulled forward demand for our P&Ds. For the year as a whole, we expect a slower pace of decline compared to our previous guidance, and that's now around a minus 15%. Gross margin for the quarter was 67% compared with 70% in Q2 2018. The year-on-year decrease was caused by the start of production of various car models of our automotive customers, which triggers an uptick in revenue, but also the release of capitalized contract cost associated with customization and integration activities, the so-called NRE. For the full year, we expect a gross margin of at least 70%, 7-0 that is. Total operating expenses in the quarter was €225 million, an increase of €104 million compared with the same quarter last year, mainly due to the increased amortization related to the Tele Atlas acquisition back in 2008. I will come back on that when I discuss the outlook. Apart from higher D&A, the R&D expenses increased due to higher personnel costs to support our growing location technology business. Then EBITDA. It decreased by 31% in a quarter to €31 million, an EBITDA margin of 15%. As explained during the 2019 outlook presented in February, we shifted CapEx to OpEx cash spending due to the maturity of our map products. CapEx declined by 64% in the first half of the year from €42 million in 2018 to €15 million in 2019. Free cash flow before financing, excluding the net cash inflow from the telematics transaction, was an inflow of €60 million in the quarter, which is flat year on year. The higher cash generated from operations was offset by higher tax cash out. Year to date, we increased our cash position with €120 million. We now have €372 million of cash and no debt. The increase is mainly due to the net cash inflows of the telematics transaction after the capital repayment to shareholders. We expect our full year cash position to be well over €400 million. Our deferred revenue position is now €297 million compared with €281 million at the end of 2018. The increase is driven by automotive deferred revenue, offset by releases of the deferred revenue position in consumer and in enterprise. Let's now continue to the next slide to have a look on the automotive operational numbers. As you know, there is a difference between the revenue we invoice and the revenue we report. The latter tends to be lower in a growing business as we follow IFRS 15 accounting standards. As shown before, this slide highlights the operational revenue of automotive. Operational revenue is the reported revenue plus the net change in the deferred and unbilled revenue positions. Automotive operational revenue increased by 26% year-on-year to €90 million. For the full year, we expect operational revenue to increase with around 20%. I would now like to comment on the 2019 guidance on the next slide. We are updating our full year outlook. Let me reiterate some of the elements. We now expect group revenue to total €700 million, of which €435 million from location technology revenue. Location technology revenue is expected to grow by around 17% year on year due to the ramp up of existing automotive contracts and the extension of a partnership in enterprise. Consumer is expected to decline by 15% year on year. This is at a slower pace than initially anticipated as the GPS weak rollover issue pulled forward replacements. Gross margin of at least 70% in the year. In 2019, we expect the total D&A to amount to €290 million, of which nearly €210 million due to the acquisition-related amortization. For 2020, we expect roughly the same amounts as in 2019. As of 2021, we expect total D&A to drop to around €75 million. The acquisition-related amortization will by then close to nil. The acquisition-related amortization is excluded from the adjusted earnings per share calculation. I would like to comment on the adjusted earnings per share and the free cash flow as a percentage of revenue in the next two slides. The 2019 adjusted earnings per share outlook is unchanged at €0.15. The share consolidation reduced the weighted average of diluted shares from 233 million to 169 million for the full year 2019. Although the effect of the expected increase of revenue on a lower number of shares was offset by a further shift from CapEx to OpEx due to the maturity of our MAP products, as well as a higher unbilled revenue position. To conclude, I would now like to comment on the seasonality of our free cash flow in the next slide. The first half of the year we saw an expected cash outflow due to the natural seasonality of our business, as the beginning of the year is marked by settlement of personnel and other liabilities, while the second half sees a higher volume of customer payments. For the full year, we expect the free cash flow as a percentage of revenue to be around 9%. The slight decrease in the outlook is a result of a higher unbilled revenue position, which impacts the timing of cash inflow. Operator, we would now like to start with the Q&A session.
Thank you, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star, then one on your touch tone phone. If you wish to be removed from the queue, please press the hash key or the pound sign. If you're using a speakerphone, you may need to pick up the handset first before pressing the numbers. Once again, if you have a question, please press star, then one on your touch tone phone. As a reminder, that is star and one on your touch tone phone. You do have some questions, and your first question comes from the line of Wim Gill. Your line is open.
Hi there. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you, Wim. Good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon. A couple of questions from my side. First of all, on the change in the capitalization policy and the change in the amortization related to TeleAtlas. And then more regarding the timing, why here and now? So why didn't you make that decision back in the fourth quarter? Because now people have to digest, two big changes, I would say, in the accounting in a short period of time. So why didn't you do this back in the fourth quarter in one big go? Also in the same line of thought, why didn't you decide to just amortize and impair the whole shabam this year rather than do it in 2 years? Why don't you do it now? That's kind of the first question. The second question is still related to DNA. You mentioned during the prepared remarks that the DNA profile post all the changes, so as of 2021, would amount to about €75 million. But your CapEx is more closer to €35 million. So should we just model for that gap between D&A and CapEx in 2021 to close in a matter of 6 years? Is that the way to look at it, or will that reduce in a step-by-step or in a quicker way? So that is kind of the D&A questions. Then on the operational side, I think you're making great progress, or at least you mentioned great progress in your SD map, moving from, let's say, 59 million kilometers in the last update to 67 now, and moving from 183 countries to 194. And also you made 1.9 billion automatic changes versus 1.5 billion in the previous guidance. So can you tell us, where do you think you stand vis-a-vis the competition on the SD maps and the significant operational improvements that you're making in that area? And can you also give us a bit of feeling on the progress you're making on the HD maps, which obviously is much more important for the future? And then I've got two more follow-ups, but let's start with these two first.
Okay.
You do the D&A, and then.
Yep. To dive into the D&A questions. Indeed, as of 2021, we expect D&A to decline to 75. CapEx this year is expected to be roughly 35. If all things are equal, which never happens, obviously, but then you could also say that CapEx is 35 in 2021. The gap between these two will narrow indeed, but not completely close, because there's also something in between related to IFRS 16. And that is our those are our lease liabilities of 50 million. So over time, our D&A will come down, but not completely to the 35. The discussions on accelerating the amortization of our Tele Atlas acquisition were started early this year, and that's also why in Q2 you see the accelerated amortization also from Q1, in there. They took several months to conclude, and we have concluded it in Q2. Yeah, with hindsight, things could also always be at a different time, but this is what it is. We started the discussion at the start of Q1, and it took several months to conclude. And it was agreed that we would reduce the useful life of the asset from 20 to 12 year, or from 10 to 2 years, and not write it all off in one go in Q2.
And is there any reason why the accountant didn't allow you to do so? Because, I mean, you're just cleaning up the balance sheet, which I think is a good thing. But it doesn't add any value to kind of make it in 2 years. Or is it just what the accountant told you to do and we have to live with it?
We think this is the right decision, and we take advice of our accountant, obviously, but we stand with our decision to do this in 2 years.
What? Thank you.
Okay, Wim. Yeah, on the, I think you're right on the SD map, good progress in terms of both coverage but also productivity. Total spend on maps is not declining, but we get more coverage faster at a lower price per kilometer, if you like. So we're happy with that. We see further improvements on the horizon in SD map making. The level of automation is increasing. And we're quite happy about those results. They have been planned for. We finally start to see significant improvements, as a result of investments in technology in the last 3-4 years. So you ask me how are we doing compared to competition? Difficult to say. We don't have full transparency, but we do believe that we have an efficient operation here, and probably the most efficient map-based platform there is. Although there are no hard numbers to support that, obviously, because competition is keeping that hidden, obviously, for commercial reasons. But we think we're doing well. Map quality is good. Coverage is increasing, and the level of automation keeps going up. On the HD map, it's a different process. The process itself lends itself for a high degree of automation, higher than in SD maps actually. And we're working to a process where we can fully automatically process those maps. We're not there yet. There is still quite a bit of manual labor involved, but we're ironing that out. That won't happen overnight, but we do believe we can reach a state where HD map production can be automated to a very high degree. And that is important because we're now covering the major roads and the closed access roads. There will also be demand to expand that coverage that's adding a lot of kilometers, and we need to be ready to be able to process that in a highly automated way in order to control cost. But again, there, you know, I'm kind of happy that we where we are, but there's more to be done, especially on the AD map production cycle.
And regarding the HD map production cycle, when would you expect that to finish?
There are two elements. So there is the initial HD map making process where you cover roads for the first time. You know, that is within reach. But the next level of sophistication will be updating that map, and updating that map based on sensor data, video data that we can get out of the car and from other sources, and that is a bit further down the road. So all in all, it's not an investment that will, you know, in production technology that will come to zero anytime soon. I fully expect that over the years to come, we will continue to invest in production engineering.
Good. And then my last question would be on Azure. The migration to Azure has been completed, as I understand. But if I look at Bing Maps and whatever, I still see your computer listed in the footnotes. So when do you think Microsoft will be ready to have the TomTom product on its entire platform? And in relation to, let's say, your integration within Azure, can you also tell us a bit on what you see in terms of adoption amongst the developer community, also the conference that you attended in Berlin recently? Do you see any progress on the number of developers that are linking into the platform?
Yeah, I think if you look at the partnership with Microsoft, we have two important initiatives underway. First is powering Azure location technology with our Maps APIs. That's done. The Azure Maps APIs are based on TomTom technologies, or a wrapper wrapped around the our APIs. The development of those APIs will continue, obviously, but that transition has happened. On the Bing side, that's not yet the case. That will take more time before their own location services platform, the Bing platform, will run on TomTom content, but we're working on the preparation for that. So if you say the transition to Azure has been finalized, I don't know exactly what you mean by that, but this is not yet the case for the Bing mapping platform that will happen over that will happen in the future.
Good, thank you.
The adoption is, you know, it's we're happy with progress. It's small. It's still a relatively small user base. It takes time to build up that community, but we see good interest and good wins. So we like what we're seeing, but to develop this in a sizable business will take time. And that is fully to be expected. Those are products that are part of other people's applications. Those applications need to be built. They need to be redesigned to accommodate our APIs. But the beauty, of course, is that it's a sticky product. We continue to grow, and hopefully those developers will stay with us for a very, very long time.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Your next question, it comes from the line of Mark Huffle, Inc. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Yes, thanks for taking questions. Firstly, change in the guidance. Can you talk a little bit about some underlying things? Firstly, your gross margin guidance unchanged. However, underlying there's more consumer and maybe a bit more of the NRE, what you earlier explained. I would say that normally that would be negative for the mix. So does it mean that there's an underlying improvement in some of the elements? Also related bit to that, or later down the P&L, you give the bridge on the underlying EPS. Given that I think the unbilled revenues is more of a timing issue than anything else, so can we read that the underlying improvement of your EPS guidance is 10 cents, or is that... if you want, because the OPEX to CAPEX is also just accounting changes. Is that fair to say? Okay, then. The second question is on what you're seeing in automotive in the order book. I know you don't give the order book on a quarterly basis anymore, but could you say something of the trends? Is your book to bill still well above one, or are you seeing there? And also, you have a small increase in the guidance on automotive. Is that so? What's happening there? Is that, what's the reason for the increase on that number? Is that there's a higher adoption rate, or anything else?
Let me take the first part of your questions on gross margin. The NRE. Was not unexpected. The fact that that caused an increase of our revenue and a decrease of our gross margin, that was not expected. So we stand with our guidance of a gross margin of north of 70%. We only mentioned it to explain why the gross margin in Q2 was lower than this year than the gross margin in Q2 last year. So this was not an what was unexpected was the tailwind that we saw in consumer. That's true. So indeed, if we sell more hardware relatively in the mix, that could have some pressure on gross margin. The guidance for the full year of a gross margin north of 70% simply still stands. And apparently we had enough headroom there to continue with that guidance. On the adjusted earnings per share, it is indeed, we said 15 and we ended up with 15. There are some elements in there that are positive, like the share consolidation and the business performance. Other things are more timing of cash, when we receive cash indeed, and a split between CapEx and OPEX. So it's hard to say what it would have been if everything would not have happened, but indeed it is true that the business performance, also articulated in our uplifted our guidance uplift, has been stronger than at the start of the year. Then I forgot, what was your last question?
On automotive.
The order intake?
Yeah, it's a combination of things. So one, we see that that you have a small increase in the revenue guidance for automotive. So what is driving that is that higher uptake. Also, maybe in the light of that, over the last couple of years, I think the actual revenues that you reported in automotive has been more than every year than you initially thought. So that momentum has been stronger, I think, than you initially guided in the beginning of the year. It seems that we see something similar again today. So I would like to understand what's under the radar there.
Well, I don't think there's anything under the radar apart from the fact that the take rates of our products end up higher than initially expected. So it's not related to unforeseen large customer programs, because we see those coming years in advance, but it's just related to actual take rates. So the royalties that we collect is a factor of our market position, car sales, but also take rates within, and I think especially the latter over the last 2 to 3 years continues to be higher than earlier indications that we also receive from the car industry and what we can report.
Okay, clear. And then the automotive order book, is that something you can say about it? Is it still well above one book to bill, or
the order intake is developing according to plan? We, as you know, we don't give detailed information about the absolute value of the intake until later, but we are doing what we're supposed to be doing.
Okay, thanks. And then maybe as a final question, your cash position, you guided to be well over 400 million again. It's a bit of a recurring theme, I guess, but anything you can say about that, or you want to keep that large position, or?
Yeah, for now we want to get, so we it's only 2 months ago, or less than 2 months ago, that we gave back 750 million to our shareholders. But indeed, the status now is that we want to keep that position for moments when we have to accelerate investment, or when there are opportunities in the market that we want to pursue.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you, sir. As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star one on your touch tone phone. That's star one. There are currently no questions at this time, sir.
As there are no further questions, I would like to thank you all for joining us this afternoon. Operator, you can close the call.